You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
And we are doing two for Thursday. I know it doesn't roll off the tongue like two for Tuesday, but we are back. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we're in mono for some reason instead of stereo. I'm not going to change it. We're just going to go with it. This is going to be a shortened episode because I have no idea what to talk about because we covered so much in the mailbag, which I probably should have done an episode before the mailbag just so I had some stuff to talk about. I feel like we covered so much ground and, you know, we're kind of in the waiting at this point, like until end of next week when Michigan actually gets out there and starts practicing and we hopefully start having some media availabilities. So I could talk about, we could spend some time talking about Jungle Cruise because I went and saw that tonight, which is why that was like a bad decision made in the morning. I'm the reason why I don't record in the mornings. I'm very incoherent. In the mornings, and I incoherently bought a movie ticket and forgetting about the NBA draft, forgetting that it was kind of in the middle of my work day, just kind of did it. So anyway, obviously really good news. We're going to react at the top with the Franz Wagner going to Orlando Magic. Hey, that's where, guess what? Still technically, Mo Wagner's still technically on that team. Will he end up, I believe, according to what little research I did, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's going somewhere else. But nonetheless, could we see a situation where both Wagner brothers are playing together? The Orlando Magic. I mean, what would that be? That would be very interesting. We saw that currently on that roster as well, Iggy Brazdeikis. Could Orlando just be Michigan South? Maybe. I don't know. But I'm sure that there will be some changes. It won't be everybody there. But Brazdeikis signed a 10-day contract with the Magic. Interesting nonetheless that's the case at the moment. I'm going to look up while we're talking here briefly as far as I can see, Mo's still technically there. So, but what a feather in Juwan Howard's cap getting Franz Wagner to go 8th overall in the NBA draft. I think I hadn't seen any mocks where he's gone that high. I told my boss earlier today because I had my article written and I was going to be at the movies. And I'm like, if this movie runs as long as it said it did online, which it did not, but it said it was 2 hours and 43 minutes and it started at 6, and the 20 minutes of previews and commercials and stuff at Imagine Theaters, and I had that worked out. And I'm like, that's going to put me around 9, which is going to put me at a situation where I might not be able to post this if he does go early. But I all the mock drafts I had been seeing, he hadn't really been mocked earlier than 9. So the fact that he went 8, and yet again another first round draft pick for Michigan. I mean, they have the most success, John Beilein and Juwan Howard combined, at putting guys into the league. Now, obviously, by the time y'all listen to this, I'm sure that Isaiah Livers will be picked. At this point, he has not been. I'm just kind of sitting here and keeping my eye on it. I haven't written a pre-write yet. That's just a little inside baseball, but he's pretty much a shoe-in as well to be drafted, but you never know. But excellent stuff for Franz Wagner to do 2 years and get picked number 8 overall, especially because I feel like I think anyone listening to this will agree, we have not seen him play his best basketball yet. So that is a huge deal. I think we're going to see his best basketball is ahead of him. I think that he is the type of guy that you can put him in so many different positions based off of what we saw at Michigan, and the fact that defensively, you know, like he was just excellent all the time, pretty much. Offensively, there were plenty of times where he didn't necessarily shine, but like you would have those games. You know, Steve Lorenz would tweet out lottery pick Franz Wagner, you know? So it's great to see that he is on his way. And I think that I don't know enough about the NBA to sit there and say, yeah, Orlando's a perfect fit or whatever. Like if this was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, really, I could have done that. But right now I can't do it. I'm not going to try to pretend and try to make it seem like I have a better idea of what's going on there. But nonetheless, anytime that you go in the top 10 or obviously the lottery 13, that's a good place to be. Because for all of these draft picks that Michigan's put out, they haven't really had a guy do that. And you know what? That's going to be the great thing going forward is Juwan Howard. This is one of his recruits. He can sit there and point to other recruits. Hey, look at the class we got coming in already. The ones that's on campus already. Like, look at what I just did with this guy. Especially, and I'm looking, Mike Schmidt's best available. Isaiah Livers is fifth on there. And Isaiah Todd, he's all the way down at 10th. Then you've got other, you know, Josh Christopher went relatively late. What, like 20-something? 22, I think. Granted, he only played 1 year at Arizona State. But I think that this is just a win-win-win-win-win-win situation for Juwan Howard and the Michigan basketball program. And I'm very excited to see how it goes. All right. I have no idea where we're going next, but we are going to go. Before we do, I'm going to tell you a little something about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. I mean, heck, we did a thing on the mailbag if you haven't listened to that already. Someone asked me to put Built Bar flavors with position groups, which was difficult. But especially because I have a couple that I like more than others. Particularly the peanut butter brownie. I like coconut chocolate chunk, which is an occasional special flavor, comes and goes. There's others that I love, toffee almond coconut, that are just phenomenal. If you don't know about Built Bar, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. So delicious, I eat two at a time. And guess what? They're low calorie, low carb, high protein. So it's not filled with a bunch of sugar yet. I'll take a Built Bar with pretty much any candy bar you give me, save for maybe a Reese's or a Butterfinger. That's how good they are. So don't delay. Do like me. Go to BuiltBar.com. Put in promo code LOCKED15. Get 15% off that next order. BuiltBar.com. Promo code LOCKED15. All right. So we just spent a short segment talking about basketball, but obviously that's not where, even though that's where people's minds are tonight, that's not where people's minds are in general. I mean, we have only a couple weeks before week zero, essentially. We are a month away from the season. Really, what, 4 weeks from this weekend? Five from, I think, 37 days away as of today, I think I saw, from the actual season starting. We are coming on it. It's vastly approaching. So I think that's, are you guys excited? Because I am excited. I know that the Michigan fans have this very, like, we'll believe it when we see it. But, I mean, I feel like when it's all starting up and people start getting into the big house, that it's going to be a different deal, especially because it's been a year away. You know they're going to win their season opener, right? Barring, an even bigger collapse than what we have seen in the game that we're not going to talk about. Going back in 2007. I mean, it wouldn't be a bigger collapse technically. And really, because Michigan was ranked fifth in the country, and, you know, that was a school not even in the same league, literally, but they were a national champion. Western Michigan doesn't deserve to be on the same field as Michigan. I think the troubling thing would be is if we see a similar game to Middle Tennessee in 2019, where it's like 45-21. But even that wouldn't even be that troubling, right? The beginning of the Harbaugh era started out a lot like that. I mean, it was a loss to Utah. No one really knew that Utah was going to be as good as it was, per se. I think we kind of had a little bit of an idea from the year before. But nonetheless, you look at that, but then it didn't seem like they were just, like, they weren't just slaughtering, like, UNLV and Oregon State. And, you know, they were good games, but they were more like 35-13. I mean, typical old school Lloyd Carr type scores, right? Like Michigan didn't win like 49-0, you know, 49-10, thinking of the Penn State game 2016. They didn't do that before. You know, they under Lloyd Carr, you know, especially when I was a student, just seemed like they would beat Eastern Michigan 35-13 generally. Maybe even like some of those games might even been like 35-21, but you knew like Michigan was going to probably put up 30 something points, the other team was going to get a couple scores, and it was going to be what it was. College football's changed dramatically since then. You know, you expect a lot more. I feel like Michigan fans to some degree expect, like, it's particularly against Rutgers, because beating Rutgers 78-0 that 1 year, it's like whenever it is 35-14 against Rutgers, or God forbid, like last year, triple overtime, you know, the sky is falling. But it's funny, even when I say that, the perspective has changed, right? I don't think that people thought the sky was falling in triple overtime against Indiana in 2015, but at the same time, I think it was one of those things of, you know, people recognize that as chaos team. You know, Indiana was better than the record generally, but they still couldn't finish out against Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State. So I guess that's a little bit different. But nonetheless, Michigan will beat Western Michigan, and they'll probably do it quite handily. So that's good news, of course. But beyond that, you know, there's still a lot of work, because you got Washington. I'll be up in the box for Washington this year. Washington and Ohio State. I'll be in the box with Trent Noop. I will be on the field for all the other games, including the road games. Well, assuming I'll be on the field for road games, but I mean, credentials haven't been approved for the road games yet. But I'll be at the road games. We'll see where I am. But lots to work out, knowing that you have that Washington game. Michigan is favored, according to ESPN FBI, right now against Washington. There's four games that they are underdogs. Washington, Michigan State, unfortunately, slight underdog at the moment. Certainly that can change very quickly. Game one, Michigan State looks like it did to start out the season last year, out the gates. I don't remember who they play out the gates. I'm sure it's a cupcake. But that'll, you know, Michigan goes out and slaughters Western Michigan. That'll change. Win against Washington, regardless, that's going to change everything for Michigan and as far as how they're expected to play. But expected losses are Michigan State, Wisconsin, Penn State, and Ohio State, of course, in FPI. The only one that's doesn't look like it's even in the same stratosphere is Ohio State. Again, here's the thing with Ohio State. I am not going to predict that Michigan beats Ohio State, even if Ohio State limps into that final game of the season, until Michigan does it. But, and I've had this conversation a couple times since Big Ten Media Days and at Big Ten Media Days. At some point, and this kind of also goes to the article that on 11 Warriors that I read by Ramzi Nasrallah, who's excellent over there. He's there. Brian Cook wrote a series, and I only read the last one where he talked about, like, this has just been the best program in the country for the last 100 years, essentially, right? Like, we haven't had, and talking about Ohio State, like, we haven't had the types of ups and downs that other teams have. Like, they might have one down year, maybe two, and then they bounce right back and are one of the best in the country. And it goes back 100 years. Like I'd been saying, it goes back to the beginning of the Woody Hayes era. They went further and said it's been 100 years out of a sport that's been going for 150. They aren't in the same stratosphere right now, because Michigan was wandering the desert for a little while before Bo Schembechler came along. Like, had basically a two-decade, you know, kind of like what Michigan's had. So, you know, the last couple decades, just it's been okay. That's kind of what it was for Michigan in the 50s and the 60s until Bo Schembechler came around and just changed it. So I'm not giving a very good vote of confidence for Jim Harbaugh, but let's continue talking about it. Let's take a quick break. And then let's continue talking about it, because we're going to keep this one short. Zuri really wants to go for a thing that shall not be named in front of her. It starts with a W, ends in an ALK. So we are going to keep this relatively short, especially since this is podcast two of two here. And let's face it, we have a lot to talk about in general, but we're kind of, like I said, we had the mailbag that really upended things a little bit. So here's the thing. I know that that's going to make people say, like, well, maybe it's time to make a change. You have to treat this year as kind of a new thing. And I know that's frustrating, but the coaching staff is completely different for the most part, with only two coaches on the entire team reprising their roles from a year ago. Yeah, you've got two other guys on top of that in Sharon Moore and Jay Harbaugh, who are coaching other positions but still on the staff. But really, six brand new coaches, it's essentially a coaching change, right? In the sense of, if Michigan was to let go of Jim Harbaugh today and that coach was like, I'm going to bring in some new pieces, he's going to keep around a couple of those guys. That tends to be how it worked. Now, Jim Harbaugh only kept one in Greg Madison, of course, and Brady Hoke. Did Brady Hoke keep anybody? Trying to think back. I don't really remember that coaching staff that well. And then Rich Rod famously kept Fred Jackson, and everyone was happy because Sam McGuffey got to stick around. But nonetheless, it's one of those things where, you know, I could see if things go south this year, but like a couple position groups are pretty good, unless that new coach has someone that they're married to, they'd want to keep some of those same guys around. Again, I'm not predicting anything. I'm just saying it's essentially, for all intents and purposes, a coaching change except for the guy at the top. And I know people have issues with the guy at the top, but like I said in the mailbag, you have the number three winningest coach in the Big Ten of current coaches. It's hard to have records that are really high if you've been around as long as like Kirk Ferentz has been. Longest tenured guy in the Big Ten. But at the same time, I think it's hard to still have that number three spot when you've been around for 6 years and you just came off a 2-4 season, a losing season. So we'll see what happens there. Now back to the Ohio State part that I was talking about. Ohio State is just, they fall upwards all the time. And it's frustrating. Not only quarterback, but even coaches, right? I mean, yeah, they kind of dipped for a minute between Woody Hayes and then having like Earl Bruce, John Cooper. But since John Cooper, who Ramsey argues was the foundation for modern Ohio State dominance, and that's true, you just turtle effect against Michigan. From him to Jim Tressel to Luke Fickle year to Urban Meyer and now Ryan Day. Now, we'll see a little bit more about Ryan Day this year because these are his players. Unfortunately, a lot of them are five stars. But who knows who the quarterback's going to be? Whoever it is, they're completely inexperienced. Completely inexperienced. And we saw how that worked out essentially last year with Joe Milton, who at least had a little experience. But they had a spring game. So I wouldn't bet on Quinn Ewers if he did come being like a starter right out the gates. Probably CJ Stroud, Jack Miller. But it's Ohio State always falls upwards. Now the quarterback is going to have a heck of a wide receiver group. I'm not in love with the running backs room. Travion Henderson, yes. Master Teague and whatever else they have out there, I feel better about Michigan's situation, especially knowing, and I've told you this before, that Michigan had its eyes set on Travion Henderson instead of Donovan Edwards. Ohio State had its eyes set on Donovan Edwards and not Travion Henderson. Ohio State was still coming after Donovan Edwards and telling him, you've always been number one on our board. I don't know if that's above all else. Maybe it's just at running back, but I was given the impression that he was top of their board, period. Regardless, you saw the offer sheet. Nick Saban came to his school. You know, like there's Georgia, full court press. Oklahoma, full court press. So I like Michigan in that regard. I like Michigan in, I like Michigan's offensive line. I think that it's a bounty of riches. There are so many players that should be playing that aren't going to necessarily get to play this year. But the good news for them is they've been waiting in the wings. We'll see if Michigan retains them. I mean, some of these guys are in year three. Chuck Filiaga, he's year five. Might not play. It's insane. So there's just a lot of guys that Michigan has in that regard that are going to be helpful. So my point with the Ohio State thing is you never know. I'm not predicting it, but we've seen what happens when you have excellent weapons but no quarterback play. Heck, we've seen what happens when you have excellent weapons and pretty good quarterback play. Above average. Shea Patterson was certainly above average. Shea Patterson didn't lose either of those games against Ohio State. Yes, he will go down in the record books as having done so, but the reason why Michigan lost those games was not because Shea Patterson. Ohio State lost a lot on defense. They have to retool. Do they have a bunch of studs coming in and replacing? Absolutely. But at some point, Michigan will have a good enough team to take advantage of an Ohio State team that isn't necessarily that. That's all I'm saying. If you're asking my prediction, it's the same. Ohio State wins this game. It might be a little less easy, but I still think it'll happen. Just to set your expectations. But with a new coaching staff, different schemes, unpredictability on defense, maybe the offense gets rolling. Only once, really, in the Harbaugh era has Michigan gone into the Ohio State game kind of seeming like it was starting to peak at the right time. That was 2019. Unfortunately, we saw how that went. But again, why did that happen that way? Predictability on defense, in my opinion. If Ohio State was punting a little bit, I think Michigan scores more than 27 points, but they weren't. They had to score on every possession. Eventually, it just fizzled out. It got desperation mode by the second half, and it was what it was. That defense could have gotten some stops. We might have been singing a different tune. Because all of those things are true, right? They are self-contained within that game, but the defense couldn't get any stops, so the offense, if you can't go tit for tat, eventually you start getting in desperation mode. It happened very quickly. Michigan can feel the defense against Ohio State and score the ball at least every now and again. I mean, 27 points, 30 points or whatever, that theoretically should be enough to beat any team you play, you face, if you have a defense like Michigan is supposed to. So, all right. Well, we managed to find a lot of time to talk about a lot of stuff. So that'll do it for me today. We will be back tomorrow on Friday for a lot of you, I mean, considering I'm posting this at 11:40 by the time that this actually posts, it will be tomorrow. It will be Friday, but we will be back again with another episode with Andy Staples from The Athletic, assuming it all goes to plan. So look forward to that. We will talk to you soon. Thanks for listening. Peace.